This is a question. Sometime early in the summer of 1869, a new piano student joined Liszt's group in Rome. Her name was Olga Janina, and she passed herself off as the Cossack Countess. Of course, she was neither a Cossack nor a Countess. Her real name wasn't even Janina. And like the other great female poseur before her, Lola Montez, she was to cause Liszt a huge amount of grief. Her real name was Olga Zelinsky, and she came from Lemberg in Ukraine. She was about 24 years old and a competent pianist when she met Liszt. We are told that she wore a jacket and trousers and smoked cigars and cut her hair short like a man. Contemporary photographs show us that she was not endowed with good looks. Indeed, she was downright plain, her face hard and masculine. She also had a habit of biting her fingernails down to the quick and making them bleed to the point that, according to observers, she would stain the keyboard of whatever piano she played with her blood. She liked to draw attention to herself through her advanced ideas on such matters as free love, atheism, and female emancipation. Among her other accoutrements was her dagger, which, according to her, bore a poisoned tip. She also carried a revolver, much to the consternation of the other students, who regarded her as unstable. When Olga arrived in Rome in 1869, she had already inhaled the vapors of Liszt's music and had become intoxicated by it. And music was not the only thing she had inhaled. She was addicted to opium, laudanum, and a variety of other pharmaceutical products. Olga could play well, but Liszt had better pianists among his students at the time. So it came as a bit of a mystery as to why Liszt began promoting Olga as his best and brightest during the winter of 1870-1871. Well, there's no mystery today. It's become clear that Liszt had slept with Olga and that Olga was emotionally blackmailing him, threatening to kill herself if he did not put her on the stage. Now, Liszt, at wit's end, finally convinced her to go off to New York in search of a career, but she made an even worse impression there than she had in Rome. In November of 1871, in New York, she apparently threatened the life of Liszt's friend, the publisher Julius Schuberth. Another friend, Antoine Hebert, wrote to Liszt, warning him to be on his guard, quote, against the deranged vengeance of this hysterical madwoman, unquote. This is very good advice. From New York, Olga cabled Liszt that she was on her way back to kill him. On November 25th, 1871, she burst into Liszt's apartment, a gun in one hand and a bottle of poison in the other. Olga informed everyone present that her life's ambition was to kill Franz Liszt and then commit suicide. Liszt had just managed to calm her down when suddenly Olga swallowed the poison and immediately went into convulsions. Everyone went a little nuts, a doctor was brought in, and it was at that point that the poison was revealed not to have been poison at all. Now, the story of this potential scandal was hushed up, but the events of the next few years could not be. Olga pulled a Marie Daju and wrote four purportedly autobiographical novels, novels intended to humiliate Liszt. Much to Olga's rage and frustration, they were panned, they were gored by the critics. One critic wrote of the first book, and I quote, "The only originality in the book lies in the word Cossack. Cossacks do not write books every day in Paris. The book's sole success has been the scandal." Unquote. But Olga's books were commercially successful. Ah, the buying public loves a scandal. The first book, entitled Souvenirs of a Cossack, was published in 1874 and quickly went through 13 editions. And La Cossack herself was kind enough to send complimentary copies to Liszt's friends, including the Pope and Karl Alexander, Grand Duke of Weimar. Now, Olga was more successful in smearing Liszt's reputation than she could ever have imagined. Her books were taken as gospel truth by three generations of Liszt biographers and music historians. Even the ordinarily dependable Ernest Newman, one of the most celebrated English writers on music of the first half of the 20th century, even Newman was fooled. He wrote that Olga's first book was, and I quote Ernest Newman,